Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back at you here on a Getaway Friday, February the 23rd. 2024, 16 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Jessica Hauser, as we are each and every Friday. And should mention, Jessica will be on vacation next week, so she will not be with us. We'll miss her, that she'll be gone, but she'll be back in 2 weeks. Continuing on with the... You did a head nod on radio there. I liked it.
I did.
You did the old head, the old radio head nod. That was good, though. But this has been good. And at some point in the run, you're going to come in some night so you can be with Carrington and we'll have a real... That's kind of fascinating in a way. I'd be interested to see how that went because you have 20 and 22 male, female, and you have 27-year-old male and female here. I think it'd be interesting.
Oh, it'll be great.
Yeah, that's a real generational show right there. That's covering all the bases. You know, I never realized until we started doing shows like this with panels that men and women, that is a big difference. And age is a big difference on how people see things.
Absolutely.
And you got to get that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like having Mary Ellen in here this morning, but I don't see age. Like Mary Ellen, you, Carrington, that's a wide swath there of age, but I think of you just all as friends, radio colleagues, and I would ask any of you the same questions, but you get a different perspective based on, but I tell you what, the three of yous would line up more because being women,
mm-hmm.
but a little variation based on the generation.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
That would be interesting.
Wouldn't it?
The three of us.
Yeah, I'd find that fascinating.
It would be interesting.
Gender is a bigger factor than age. Like, men and women see things far differently than a 22-year-old woman and a woman over 60. They still somewhat line up. They're more agreeable. Not on everything,
mm-hmm.
but more than a man and a woman, there's far more disagreements there.
Right. There could be.
I'm not sure why that is, but that's what I found
mm-hmm.
in this sociological experiment that we're running around here.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done the food segment. I guess you're just going to have to get around. So I guess the final analysis there was, do you dump the person, get out of it if they can't cook, which is what this is all about, I guess.
Oh, that would be mad, I think. Deal breaker.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker for you. You can't make those peanut butter sandwiches. Let's get the heck out of here.
Well, I mean, I guess I could always cook because I like to cook. So I guess it wouldn't pertain to me, but... I mean, I guess, yeah, if you can't cook as well, then, I mean, you gotta be able to eat, you know?
Yes, you do. You have to eat a lot in a lifetime.
Could you get some Cheez-Its? If you don't like the food, just get some Cheez-Its.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think, Jess? Deal breaker?
For me, no.
Not a deal
but
breaker.
But I'm usually the cook in the whole scenario. So,
really?
So I guess if somebody doesn't like my cooking, then I suppose it would be a deal breaker because... You know, I won't change it.
No, but would it anger
I'm
you?
Cook. It might.
Like, if they went for a box of Cheez-Its every night, would you be angry?
I don't know if I would go to the extreme of angry, but...
Cheez-Its are good.
But I wouldn't want to change how I cooked.
No, but I mean, if they're buying
like,
the Cheez-Its...
Like, it's hard enough with my kids, so I've had a little taste of it, and it's like, okay, now if I've got to cook differently for three people, like, totally not doing it.
No, but I mean, no, I don't think you should ever force somebody to cook differently for you. But like I say, if you have, like, chips or whatever, and it's easy, and you just don't mm-hmm. like that meal, like, if you were cooking gravy, I would not want to eat that. Mm-hmm. And I went over and got some Cheez-Its, would that be offensive?
I wouldn't be angry now.
There you go. So that's all that. You could get through it. And I don't think it's a deal breaker either. I'm not sure why this is such a big thing. But anyway, the wedding story. I like this wedding issue. Apparently, a couple of coworkers were invited to a wedding of a coworker. So they drove 8 hours to go to this wedding. And when they got to the wedding, they were invited to the church part of the wedding, but they were not invited to the reception. This caused some hard feelings. Should it?
I mean, I think that it's reasonable that it does. I think they drove 8 hours to get there. I think if you're going to invite somebody to a wedding that's 8 hours away, you should...
They went to the wedding. They allowed the wedding.
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, if you go to the wedding, I mean, I think if you invited somebody to the wedding, you go, you kind of got to invite them to the reception. You can hope they don't come, but like, right. I think if you're inviting them to the wedding, you kind of got to invite them to the reception.
Maybe that was their way of inviting them, but not inviting them. Like, we'd like you to come, but you can't
come. We don't want you to come.
We don't want you to come.
I think we have another call coming in here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what you do, you buy and pay for cooking lessons, and then you just, you know, hand them, you know, where it's been bought and paid for, and they have cooking lessons, and that kind of tells them you don't like the cooking now, but...
Cooking, you know, lessons and a diamond ring? All right, what is it, still a diamond? Is that what you have to get people? What do you have to get? What is the...
When you're married?
Well, engagements now have to be something.
I mean, I think the standard,
it's
like...
just another thing to make a man buy two rings, right?
Oh, I've seen tattoos.
Get the money out of you.
Oh, so rings aren't even a thing anymore.
Well, I mean, I think the standard, like, wedding and engagement rings still involve diamonds.
I know a lot
of
them were wedding bands.
I think you should save the band for the reception. Hire the band for the reception.
Yeah.
So you say, but don't you think that would offend a girl if you said, listen, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but you got to get some cooking lessons? I think that might be a deal breaker.
Well, I wouldn't say you got to get them. I just hand them, you know, paper where they're, you know, it's been bought and paid for, and they're
Merry Christmas.
Isn't that like getting somebody a blender for Christmas?
It is, or a broom. Yeah. A vacuum.
It is
broom.
Also when you tell somebody, especially a woman, that you don't like their cooking.
All the ways to say I love you.
You don't even say, oh, well, don't have enough salt or something like that. You just, you know, got to chomp it down and go with it.
I know. You know what you can do, though? If they have an animal, you can feed it to them. Palm it. You know? Take it. This is really good, and you're really just giving it to the dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that.
I know Judy, she used to make fried chicken, and she would never cook at a high enough temperature. And, man, it was just loaded with grease. You'd be sick from, you know, grease feeling in your stomach.
But, so a little bit of a deal breaker.
You got to cook at a higher temperature. Well, it will splatter more, I guess, when it's on a higher temperature. I don't know, but.
So in your case, it's a deal breaker. They got to know how to cook.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. It's interesting the opinions people have out there. Now, the wedding. What do you think? Go ahead, Matt. Finish your thought. They were invited to the church part of it, is what I was saying.
So, did they know they weren't invited to the reception?
Clearly not.
Okay. See, I didn't think so. So, I think if you invite somebody to a wedding, especially being that the wedding is 8 hours away, you kind of got to invite them to the reception.
But they didn't.
Yeah, but, like, I think I'd be a little upset with that person, too.
Mm-hmm.
I drove 8 hours to sit in a church in silence and watch you, you know, do the whole ceremony thing, and then I don't even get invited to the actual reason to go to the wedding.
Now wait a second, though. Clearly, they were never invited to the reception. Isn't that more on them?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't know I had to say, hey, you're invited to the wedding and the reception.
Well, usually
they're one in the like. They're,
no,
like, it's the same event.
No, it's not, because the reception is where it's usually at a hall or something like that, and a lot of people, you have to RSVP because of the food. You know, they have chicken or they have this or that.
I mean, that's a little different.
It's not buffet.
I mean, that's a little bit different. If they didn't RSVP, then that's on them for not RSVPing to the.
But you don't send you don't send an invitation to everybody.
There could be two very different dynamics. There's like a different dynamic between a wedding and a reception as well. Like, you know, weddings are ceremony is like could be like a religious, you know, event is, you know, and it, but then you have the reception, which could be all different kinds of dynamic there. So, like, I wonder if they had an off-the-hook reception and, like, just knew that maybe
crowds.
Maybe these people shouldn't come here.
Yeah. I mean, if you're having a really interesting reception in which, you know, a lot of alcohol's involved and things, bands that maybe are playing music that would not be suitable for some people, I mean, maybe you don't want your great-grandparents there. Maybe you don't want co-workers to see how you are.
I mean, I think it's just one of those things where you gotta say, hey, by the way, this is happening, so, you know, if you're coming, you're coming.
But I invited you to the wedding. Why is that not enough?
Mm-hmm. Because the wedding's the boring part. Nobody wants to go to a wedding. Everybody wants to go to a reception.
Stay home, then. Stay home.
See, but if I don't go to the wedding, I can't go to the reception.
No, that's not true. I don't think that's true.
I mean,
if you've been invited to the reception.
I've only asked one person, but I was like, can I just, you know, not go to the wedding?
And then
to the reception?
Yeah, so they're like, no.
Wait a second, you did it wrong there. Better to ask forgiveness than permission.
I don't know. I don't think that's how I think I would have been kicked out.
No, after you ask that, you would, because they know you didn't want to come in the first place. But if you show up at the reception,
I think it's just kind of common knowledge. Since when does anybody want to go to a, like, you're not the one getting married. Who wants to go sit there in silence and just watch, like, the most boring ceremony you've ever seen in your life?
Well, people do, I guess. Some people like to get dressed up. It gives them an occasion to get dressed up.
I think you can get dressed up. You don't need to get dressed up to go to a wedding.
Listen, I don't run these weddings.
Some people want to witness, you know, a couple sharing their vows.
You know, they still do that objection thing at the wedding.
They want objection.
I think it's more like a. I think it's more at this point. It's more of like a quote unquote ceremonial objection. I don't think you're necessarily supposed to have an objection at this point, but they still ask.
Pump the brakes a little bit. Pump the brakes on that one. I don't think that's going to last very long.
The key to the question though is the 8-hour drive. So that's a little different.
But again. Okay, let's say there was no reception. Would they be as ticked? Probably not. I think this is more of just, I feel left out. But you know what? You weren't invited to the reception.
Mm-hmm. Yep, go have a nice dinner somewhere else.
Yeah. Apparently, the church wedding was enough when you initially signed up. It sounds like when you found out there was a reception that you weren't invited to, that there's a problem. But you know what? People you work with in a professional setting, you probably don't want them at the wedding. That's like seeing your drunk pictures on social media.
I think it's the same thing as, like, I don't know why you would invite your coworkers to your wedding.
Your coworkers know you're getting married. They know
it's
happening.
That's why you're doing it more for a front, because you don't actually like the person. You don't want them at the party where everybody else is going to be and you're actually going to be socializing. You want them to sit there in silence and watch you get married.
No, that's not a front. They're saying, we want you to come, but I don't want you to see me blackout drunk at the reception.
I don't want you to see my Uncle Bob who's been drinking since 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because people do put on a front at work. You see a different person.
I don't know. I just think that if I drove 8 hours and then I was told that I can't go to the reception, I don't know that I'd be talking to that person. I mean, I probably would at some point, but I'd be angry.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we continue on this morning, we have another call here, and it's been a great morning. As I said this morning, we've been joined by legendary newsman Sam Donaldson, talk show host Dick Cavett, DJ Cousin Brucey, and now a special call from a lady who came into people's living rooms and workplaces for so many years, one of the true icons in broadcasting and queens of talk, and she still can talk with the best of them, the legendary Sally Jesse Raphael. Sally!
Hi, happy birthday. I have a bit of a cold, so you'll have to forgive me.
You know, I'll take it any day. Sally, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I want to say that I've been in broadcasting probably longer than anyone alive today, over 80 years, and I started quite young. I have never met anyone as persistent and dedicated to what he does as Scott Spears. You are the single most persistent, and that's what pays off. That's a good thing in broadcasting.
Sally,
it's really true, so I'm more than happy to wish you a happy birthday.
Sally, to hear that from you, there could not be a better birthday present than hearing that from a lady who...
nobody compares to you. Nobody I've ever met, a broadcaster, has been as dedicated as you are. How long have you done the show?
The current show I'm doing, we're going to celebrate 10 years in the fall, but been doing broadcasting for about 22 now.
Wow. See?
Yeah. Stuck around for a while.
Yeah. Well, that's nothing. Well, compared to me, nothing.
No, so what are you doing these days, Sally?
I do acting roles, and America has a great distaste for ageism. You know, it's the last thing. I think we've gotten great strides in women's participation, participation of other races, but we have done nothing about ageism. So that most stations, only if they have one reporter who's over 65, that's a lot. So it's extremely hard to find work. Well, there isn't much radio left, as you know. But certainly any kind of work, extremely hard. They don't like old people. And I think most old people will agree with that.
Well, Sally, on this particular note, my birthday is tomorrow, but I do have to mention this. Sally's birthday is Sunday, so happy birthday, Sally.
Yeah, actually, I think we may have the same birthday, because I was born around the 24th at midnight, so I'm not sure.
Oh, that's great. Two birthdays.
Yes, I like that. I'm going to put that on my biography now. I share a birthday with Sally Jesse Raphael.
I'm not sure we don't have the same, you know, birthday thing. Well, anyhow, I wanted to talk to you and tell you how much I respect you, and I'll go back to having my cold and taking my cough medicine. At least I didn't cough during the interview.
You feel better, Sally, and just one little
person. Have a great birthday. Treat yourself. I always buy something or take myself out. I do something for me in case somebody else doesn't do it. So I suggest that people do something for themselves on their birthday.
Hey, Sally, before I let you go, one quick thing. When we celebrate the 10th anniversary of this show in June, promise me you'll come back on with me. There's a little persistence.
June. Honey, I don't think any further ahead than tomorrow, so I won't make you a promise. If I'm around, I'll try.
Sounds good. Sally, happy birthday. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear. Bye.
Bye-bye. The legendary Sally Jesse Raphael. I'll tell you, it's an interesting morning around here this morning. This feels like my funeral.
Yeah, I know. Happy birthday, Scott.
I know. My goodness gracious. And they're all saying such nice things. Who knew? In 80 years, Sally. Now, you know Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's not an obscure one, is it?
No.
Your chin there kind of went in a way. I thought, well, maybe there is some obscurity there with Sally Jesse Raphael.
Yep, I know Sally, not
personally.
No.
You don't know her personally.
No.
She's not going to be calling you on your birthday.
No, probably not.
No. No, does that of course probably doesn't ring a bell with you either, Matt.
No.
Although she was on, but I forget you were born after 2002, so she was on through 2002.
Yeah, I would have been born in 03.
Well, God bless her, Sally Jesse Raphael. Thank you, Sally, for calling in this morning. So that's very, very nice. Where were we? The wedding thing.
The wedding thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So do you get ticked, or do you just say, listen, I should have paid better attention to the invitation?
I mean, I guess it depends on how it was phrased specifically. Because, like, if it was the situation where you had described before to where if you needed to RSVP to the reception, then it would be on them because they didn't RSVP in this case. But if they were invited to just the wedding and there was no acknowledgement that they were not invited to the reception until after the wedding had already taken place, then I think it's on the person whose wedding it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think if it wasn't on the invitation, you can't be ticked.
Yep.
I think if they send you a wedding invitation, you kind of just automatically assume
you can't find a party in that town. You're with your friend. If you really want to have a party, go stop at a bar and do your thing.
It's not even like you're in the town. I mean, you might be in the town with your friends, but 8 hours is like states. Like when me and Caleb went to the Green Bay Packers game in Wisconsin, that was like 9.5 hours. That was like. So you traveled like 2 or 3 states to go to this wedding just to be told you're not allowed to go to the reception.
Right. I wonder if the reception part of it just fell out or didn't make it in.
I bet it's one of those. It's because it's coworkers. I think it's one of those professional settings, and I don't want you to run back to the
boss. I don't think I would have invited my coworkers to a wedding that was multiple states away.
I think you're missing the. Maybe you didn't think they would come.
I don't know. I just
close friends and family. Yeah. That's all.
I don't know.
That's all we're having.
How was your wedding? Close friends and family?
Yeah, it was. It was, for the most part. It was in a small setting, too.
Really? So the only wedding you didn't, usually the first one, people want the big one.
They do.
Yeah, they want the cake and they want the dress and they want the tuxedos and the groomsmen and the bridesmaids and all that.
Mm-hmm. It was still pretty and intimate, but it was hard because we had a lot of, you know, we even had a lot of close friends and neighbors that couldn't go. So our guest list, it was hard. It was really hard to figure out. And then you're calling people kind of last minute. Hey, you didn't RSVP. Are you coming? If not, then I would love to fill a seat with somebody else. You know, because, I mean, I felt so bad just prioritizing my group of people. And then you have two groups of people. You have his and yours. So, you know, okay, how am I going to prioritize my college roommate over, you know, my fiance's, you know, college roommate?
That's why, you know what, that's why it's fascinating. And we got into it a little bit last week, but that's people who get married, serial marriers, who get married multiple times. I don't know how they do it. I understand probably the 3rd and 4th, 5th wedding is probably more of a courthouse type of occasion. But, I mean, I don't really how do you do that? I mean, really, my brain at some point would be saying, why do I need this paperwork? I don't do this well. Why can't we just date? What is the problem here? I've already broken many commandments. I don't need... That's no longer a worry. Because a lot of people do get married the first time.
Why set yourself up for failure again?
But I mean, after the first... I mean, listen, as hard as it is to believe, there are people who still do get married because these are sacred vows, and you're not supposed to... Catholic religion, I'm not sure how dedicated it is, but for a long time, and still with a lot of people, you can't do certain things before you get married. This is important, and it does happen. But after the first, why are you getting this paperwork time and time and time again? Do you need to have that person get down on their knee? Is that what's going on?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been married 3 times.
No, you haven't. But I'm saying this is fascinating to me that this goes on with so many people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can think of 3 people who have been married 3 or better, and 2 of them, 4 or better.
Mm-hmm. It's a common occurrence.
Yeah, I don't get that. What do you have to prove it? See, to me, I would rather see my theory on marriage has always been, before we move on to the next topic, because I like the next topic a lot, is that if we are together, even living together, that we're not married. I understand a lot of people feel that's not proper, but that you can leave any time without breaking any paperwork, I think that's much harder to stay. There's really no reason for you to stay, so maybe you're staying because you like me.
You're not supposed to stay? Like, you're not supposed to live with somebody before you get married?
Oh, no.
You know what? That was like, you know,
there's a whole bunch of things you're not supposed to do.
I kind of figured that if I was going to marry somebody, I would live with them first, you know?
No. That was taboo.
I feel like if I'm going to get married to somebody and then move into the same house with them, I kind of want to know what it's like to live with them for a year at least.
Listen, if you got pregnant before you got married, there used to be a time you had to leave the zip code. That was a very...
Yeah, but that was, you know, I mean...
Do you know how many people I know... If you go... Pay attention sometime. People... At this point, probably 70 or better. But if you talk to them, a lot of them will now be more honest about it because it's more acceptable. But a lot of them change their anniversary dates to fit in with the birth of their children because they got married because of the pregnancy. I've known several people who've done that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you can't tell that to the kid. You can't go, well, you were born in April and we got married in February. You were a 3-monther. No, that doesn't work. So you got to change the date of the wedding or the anniversary that you celebrate every year. I've known people who did that. That used to be a foreign thing. I understand it's not now. And even with the Catholic thing, which, you know, I mean, well, this is not a childish show, but listen, it's sex before marriage. You're not supposed to have sex before marriage. So that was a big thing for a long time. I still think it's one of those things, but it's not necessarily, I don't think, a deal breaker for the Catholic Church anymore, but it was for a long time.
I mean, I knew that, but I didn't know, like, the whole, like, you weren't supposed to live with somebody.
That's bigger? Living with people.
I think it makes no sense.
Well, it was, because if you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend, it's not so much that you're sharing space, because a roommate would not be the same thing. It's what you're probably doing because you're living together that people are frowning on.
You see, but, like, I mean, you could just not.
So it's like a commune? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, like,
I don't understand this.
I think that if you were, like, that Catholic and you like, I mean, you
could just... Oh, so saying follow the rules?
Yeah, basically. Okay. I mean, like, you could move in together, just, you know, not...
I think if most people live with each other, 99% of those people wouldn't be getting married.
I think that's probably the reasoning you should live with each other.
Got any thoughts on this, Jess, before we move to the next topics?
Oh, we could talk about this all day.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think, I mean, it, really, weddings, white dresses, had, you know, that meant you were a virgin. That's certainly not a thing anymore. Catholicism and no sex before marriage. You don't live with somebody. You don't get pregnant before you get married. Big things.
Old school.
Yeah.
But it's old school thoughts now.
But was it better in some way? Because they didn't have 4 and 5 marriages in those days.
Well, I think a lot of people kind of, I don't know. It could be because of some other reasons now, but I think, like, once divorce became, like,
easy?
Like, yeah, like, easily available, like, divorce rates skyrocketed. So either people were already unhappy in their marriages, or alternatively, something happened.
I think more or less divorce was as easy. It just wasn't looked upon very well. People really, it was like a scarlet letter to be divorced in those days. Don't go around that person. I mean, you could not run for president and be divorced. I mean, that took till the 1980s for that to happen, to have a president who had been divorced. Now, nobody bat an eye at it. Anyway, the next topic, which I really like, because this is a pet peeve of mine, is what this came out of. But if you read the paper, if you pay attention to media, everybody is being referred to as a Marian icon. And I don't even know what that means, to be honest with you. Icon is a superlative person in their field who does something extraordinary. Now, I understand that if you had a coach who you really liked, or if you had a teacher who you really liked, or maybe your mom or dad, you probably feel in a way that maybe we could call them iconish. We're starting to throw this word around way too often. And it's not a diss on people. It's just icon should be few and far between, because if everybody's an icon, then nobody's an icon.
True.
So, what do you make of this? You've had to have seen this.
I haven't.
You haven't seen this at all? I'll show you some articles sometime. It's very strange. They go, Marian icon. I think, who is that?
As in, like, the Virgin Mary? Like, Marian?
No, like Marian, Ohio.
Like Marian, Ohio.
Marian, Ohio, and I don't know these people.
No. I haven't seen it yet.
Really? Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to allude to the story that really tipped this off, because, you know, I don't want to offend the person, but I thought, what? That's an icon? I mean, you can say well-known person, or I would even take the legendary can be thrown around, but icon? I think that's a Mount Rushmore thing.
It is.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever, like I said the other day, because I don't want to start naming icons, because then people will get upset. But I said Doc Brown in this community was the superintendent of the city schools. He was a county commissioner, and he was a mayor. Now, to me, that's an icon. He did something that nobody else, to my knowledge, ever did. In his day, everybody knew who he was. There are people listening to this show. The man's been dead for over 20 years, still recognize the name. Some people remembered him as a superintendent who never called off school no matter how bad it snowed. Some people remember him as the mayor who didn't take a salary. Some people remember him as the county commissioner. He was a city council person. That's a life. To me, that's an icon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But just because you were good at something you did, I don't know. What makes an icon, I guess, is the question. What do you got, Matt?
I mean, if they're an icon of something, it might just be like, if you were like if you were in the field that person was in, you would know that person.
But they're not an icon.
I mean, they're iconic to the field.
Depends the field.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, if you aren't in the field, you might not know who they are. But if you're in the field, like...
I'm not demeaning any fields here, but let's say... You're not going to say that was an iconic busboy.
Like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, is...
That just ain't going to...
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is an iconic basketball player.
Yes, and
but there are probably a fair amount of people who don't watch basketball and never heard of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think Michael Jordan is more well-known than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And for the longest time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the all-time leading scorer in the
NBA. Right, but Michael Jordan was a better player, though. So that's also another reason.
It's just one of those things, though. Like, I mean, Michael Jordan is considered the GOAT, which is why people...
I think that's right.
...know who he is. But, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was iconic. And a lot of people today wouldn't know who he is.
I don't think that's the deal-breaker, though. I think because like I said, Doc Brown, you're not going to know who Doc Brown is, but in his day, he was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You would not live in Marion and not know who Doc Brown was. So that's timing. What I'm talking about is just being an icon because you did something good. I don't think so. He did several things good, and he achieved several different things.
All right, so in terms of football, I'll go with football then. Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is probably at this point considered iconic to the game of football.
These people live in Marion. This is the conversation we're having here.
It's a similar thing. Like I'd say in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes probably is iconic in Kansas City. But you go to somebody who doesn't watch football in Kansas City, and they might not know who he is.
Maybe.
I mean, they might because they have, like, whole parades.
I know who he is, and I'm not a football fan.
Yeah, but you're also a broadcaster, and you talk about football. You didn't know who Travis Kelce was.
Yeah, I would not consider him an icon. No.
Travis Kelce is one of the best tight ends in the league.
He's no icon.
I would consider him an icon.
No.
He's an icon at the tight end position.
If I don't know him, no icon. If I'm in broadcasting and I don't know who they are, they're not an icon.
I don't think so.
Sally Jesse Raphael, icon. What do you think, Jess?
As far as an icon goes, I agree. You really should probably have to know them. But, you know, I'm kind of getting the drift, like, you know, making a difference for you. Just for the who they were superintendent. And,
superintendent,
yeah,
mayor.
Just, you know, that's a pretty big run right there.
But also there are fields that lend itself to iconism, too. Sports is one of them. Broadcasting is one of them. Acting is one of them. Politics is one of them. Like, you would never say that's an iconic, and I'm trying to think of a high end. You would never say that's an iconic broker. You know, you probably wouldn't do that because they're not really known outside of their field. Their name is not on everybody. It's the influence. Public platforms give you influence, and you can do good or bad things with that influence, and you can do good or bad shows with that influence. I think that's where the rubber meets the road on icon.
Yeah, I think it's difference of opinion. Like, I could probably, like, put a mother of, like, 8 kids in the iconic category.
Well, now, see, I think that's different. I don't think they would be a community icon, but to people, certainly somebody to be admired, certainly a tough job.
For sure.
Yes. Oh, and much harder work. I'm not saying the icons do the hardest work at all. That's not true. But it's just different fields. I was telling this story to somebody the other day. You know, if you... Because obituaries cost a whole lot now to run them in the newspaper. I forget the price, but it's some astronomical amount. Now, you can have somebody with a gigantic family die. They've got 5 kids. They've got 27 grandkids. They've got 36 great-grandkids. They've some friends and the sisters and the brothers and the nieces and the nephews. They're just in the obituary section. You have, in Marion, Ohio, if you have a broadcaster die, if you have a politician die, a mayor die, it'll be on the front page. That's the difference. Doesn't mean they were any more important. It just means that they were more visible. People, you know what it is? People who don't know them, people know them that they don't know. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Marion icon.
Marion icon.
Maybe we're Marion icons because we were sitting here talking.
Could be.
Are we icons?
Well, just being on my show makes you something.
Today you're an icon.
Today I'm an icon. I'll be an icon today. Yeah. But I thought Martha Dowse to me would have been an icon.
Absolutely.
Because she, dance teacher, absolutely, but raised, she's got a plaque at Children's Hospital for raising money for leukemia research. She did those dances for years in town. She ran for city council at one point. She was not successful, but she did step out of her own field. And she was active until she was 89. She would do anything I would ask her to do. She had a radio show at one point. Martha, and I would travel around Marion with Martha. Everybody knew Martha. So there's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean Martha was any better than anybody else's grandma, but when she died, it was front page news. Everybody knew it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Yep. And I didn't take dance from her, but I still knew her.
You had to if you lived in Marion. She was just one of those people.
You did.
She made a difference. She did things sometimes on purpose. You know what I hate? People like Mary Ellen Withrow is certainly an icon. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. When she goes many years from now, it's going to be front page news, not only in Marion, but in other areas. You know, mm-hmm. Certainly President Harding has to be a Marion icon. I don't know how you can say he's not the founder of Marion. Eber Baker has to be a Marion icon, even though people probably don't know that name. Mm-hmm. But these are the people. A gym teacher is not an icon to me, no matter how much we loved them and no matter how many years they taught. You could say well known, you can say very likable, changed a lot of kids' lives, but not an icon.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be my thought on it.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
A little bit more famous.
Yeah. But why do you think they throw that in there? Like, does that help?
I didn't know that they were.
Oh, they are.
Maybe.
They are. They're throwing it in.
Yeah, kind of loose then.
Yeah, I don't like that. Because then, if we're all icons, then nobody is. And there's no real need to strive for anything if anybody will just call you that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a little shabby. We got about 8 minutes left here. Is there anybody, Matt, you can think of a Marion icon? Martha Dowse, we're looking at here. Eber Baker, Harding, Mary Ellen Withrow, certainly.
I mean, like Charlie Evers.
Charlie was very good, absolutely.
Got the Evers
Buckeye
Arena.
Buckeye Chuck, Evers Arena. Yep. Would have no doubts on that one. Madge Cooper, absolutely, for what she did. Radio.
Marion Michaels.
Marion Michaels, yeah. But they're all visible people. Jack Kellogg will go down as a longest-serving mayor in Marion history. That'll be front-page news. Mm-hmm. It's just that sort of thing that gets it done. Now, what is with the generation now, though? Where are those icons? Have they not got there? Something has happened. It's a little...
Ryan on YouTube?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess you have to be famous on YouTube at this point is what you have to do. What do you do? I mean, something happened where people almost crave attention now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's what the social media game started. I think people saw that you can make money on social media doing basically nothing so long as you can make content that people would watch.
Yeah, but you know what?
They love to do it.
I look down on that in a way because just because you have videos of cats and people are watching them does not make you a broadcaster or an icon.
I don't think they think it does. I think they think it makes them rich.
Fine. If you're fine. That's okay. But you know what? Somebody who's doing terrific interviews over here and covering the news every day, which is much harder to do than videotaping your cats, are probably going to have less views than the cats. But I think they're doing the better service.
Mm-hmm. But
so
you're a different generation.
So the cat people are going to be the icons.
Yeah, the cat people are
the
icons.
We'll be gone when that happens.
Yep, it's over.
We'll be gone. Now, of our generation, who is somebody who sticks out in your mind?
Elon Musk.
Well, he's not Marion. Who would be a Marion person of our generation?
Oh, we're still talking about Marion?
I know. I'd say there's something wrong. Something happened. Everything has died down a little bit. Maybe you have to be older to become that status.
I mean, I think that the news just doesn't get around Marion as much as it used to. I mean...
No, but I know people who, if I wanted to draw a crowd, if I wanted to do a radio show that was going to get good ratings, I would know who to call on.
I think back in the day, more people paid attention to and knew and understood, like, city government, for example. So, like, you were more likely to know your, like representatives, city council, mayor, that kind of thing. But now, I don't think that a lot of people know the local government people.
I don't think it necessarily has to be the local government people, but I'm saying
just an example.
But creative people, innovators. I don't know. I don't know who they'd be right now, to be honest. I mean, I know who I would call, who people might know more than somebody else, but I really can't think off the tip of my tongue somebody who's really, you know, paved a way.
Right.
Something happened.
So, I think we're from the generation where, you know, you're kind of more well known the more trouble you got into.
Right.
If you sort of look back on it, some of the, you know, the celebrities and stuff that we like kind of grew up with, like, were really stretching.
Well,
you know, like Eminem, Madonna, yeah. We were kind of part of a generation where if you got a tattoo, you were more well known.
Yeah.
Like now tattoos aren't a big deal, or, you know, like, I mean, they're a big deal, but they're not a big deal.
No,
like, but what it was.
No, it used to be a big deal.
So, like, our generation is kind of like, we placed more, now we're talking about the word icon kind of in a good way and all the good things that somebody, so, you know, I might be a little off base right now, but we do come from a generation where, you know, I feel like if I pointed out, like, a well-known person from Marion, it's because they got in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I mean, but it will get you known.
If you
do something awful, I mean, it will get you known.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. They'll slip that in there. All right, go ahead, caller.
Matt Morgan, icon.
There you go. There you go.
You said he was getting recognized in public.
That has happened. You've gotten recognized in public since doing this show without question. There you go. So he's the icon.
He's the icon.
I'm working on it.
I like it. No, who in your mind? Who's the icon of the generation under 60 years old?
No, we don't have one.
None?
Under 60?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I guess you could put Scherzer in there. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. You know, I have no problem with that.
He probably isn't 60. You could put him in there.
Yeah.
He's a mayor for a while.
Yeah.
Todd Jett Kemper.
But other than that, it's hard to think of anybody.
Isn't that weird?
We've kind of been on the decline, as I've repeatedly brought to your attention for many, many episodes of your show.
But I don't know if we're on the total decline. See, I think progressively things have happened. Marion now has dorms. We have a much better college system about getting degrees. The schools are certainly much newer and accommodatable. All the districts now at this point have rebuilt. The roads are better. The ability to get things is better.
The roads are better?
They are. Go down downtown in the old days. They were some pretty rough roads down there.
Not even that old. I would even say a decade ago.
Yeah.
Everywhere now. I think that's just, you know.
There's been
a lot of improvement
downtown.
Is it a hellscape? No, it's not. But as far as culturally and, you know, economically in a lot of cases, I mean, we're not a manufacturing powerhouse anymore by any stretch of the imagination. And that's not just Marion. It's not just Sam. I'm talking more of a macro level, just this country. But to answer your question, as far as people under 60, I don't know. Who would you put in there?
Under 60?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's hard when it's in your own age group, I think. Because I'm not really, you know. Who would be an icon under the age of 60? Scherzer would be one. I mean, he did tie the record for the longest-serving mayor. So he would fit in the qualified category. He was
he
a teacher.
He lost the park name, though.
Right? Oh, the drama with that. I can't even... Yeah, I know. To name a park after somebody, then take it back. Take it back.
Do you think they did that because he vetoed the pay raise?
You know, I would love to get to... We'll never find out why that was done, I guarantee you. But there was a nefarious reason for that. There's no doubt in my mind. You don't make a sign like that, change the name of a park, and then within 2 months, change it back and come up with a whole new sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess somebody didn't think he was an icon.
Guess he didn't make the icon status. I get sad. Thank you.
Yep.
That's a Marion drama for another day. Somebody called in back in December and said, hey, did you know they changed the name of Founders Park to Schertzer Park? And I said, no, because I just had lit the Christmas tree down there.
I didn't know that.
And they did. And we walked down there on a Friday night to make sure. Big new sign, Schertzer Park, told about his tenure as mayor. And then somebody called in last week, I think it was, and said, did you know that they took that sign down and changed it back to Founders Park?
They did?
They did.
Aw.
Isn't that horrible?
He kind of could deserve that, though. I mean,
if somebody came and took my Scott Spears Day back, I'd be ticked.
Yeah, I would be sad. I would be a little hurt.
That's as dramatic. Why would it you is. Do that?
Maybe the sign needed fixed.
No, the Founders Park signs. Oh, they're all new Founders Park signs up there now.
So maybe it was a temporary sign.
Temporary park name is more like it. Temporary park name. I don't know.
I bet Google Maps doesn't know what to do.
But I'll tell you what, nobody will ever admit why that was really done. We'll get some goofy answer, like people really cared about Founders Park. That's what'll be the answer, I guarantee. But no, nobody knew what Founders Park was. Nobody knows what that even means. What does Founders Park mean?
I don't know what it means either.
Right. I mean, nothing. I assume it was a park to memorialize the founder, but I mean, at that point...
No, it's not. We Eber Baker. It's not called Eber Baker Park. Makes no sense. And that park is not even an old park. That park is like last 25 years. Used to be a building there.
Yeah, it's not very old.
No, but I will give, if you want to talk about progress, when they invited me to light the Christmas tree this past year, the crowd, because they told me, I said, well, there's going to be, what was the number, 2,000, 4,000, something like that. I thought that ain't happening. And boy, darned if it wasn't pretty close. The streets of Marion were... when I walked out on the stage to light the tree, I was shocked. It was cold, and I could not see a street. I mean, all these people down there. And then somebody came over to me and said, talk fast, it's cold. These people are going to leave.
Told you he's a Marion icon.
Oh, that's right. I got to light the Christmas tree. That's right. put that in there. Well, this has been fun. You'll be gone next week. We'll miss you. Have a safe trip in Jamaica.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Matt, you'll be back at noon today.
Yep.
And that's it. For any parting words?
Parting words?
Parting words.
Nope. No parting words.
I'd like you to have something profound there for us.
Yeah, just wish me safe travels to Jamaica. I don't know that's a great place to travel right now. Maybe we can get
Founder's name for you. Because they changed that sign down there like they changed their underwear. We can just change that. It'd be Jessica Park.
Jessica Park.
Jessica Hauser Park.
Just call me Sarah.
There you go. We'll be back. Pastor Craig up next. Stay tuned.
What time of commercial where I greeted him because he was the marshal some years ago of the Israeli Day Parade in New York City, where I, of course,